sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary. For you.
Sing it unto him now.
Lord, prepare me
to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and with thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary before you. Amen and amen. Just to be a sanctuary for the Lord. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord tonight. Got a good crowd. Looks like almost a Sunday sometime. But good to see everybody. Amen. Remember now, there will not be but one service this coming Sunday. Okay? We'll be eating together, fellowshipping together, and all like that. And there'll be one service this coming Sunday. We made other announcements about the putting a box back there. We haven't got it, but if you have anything you want to give to put into, I don't know what we can call it, a love offering fund or a fund, a box that we're going to put there to help people that are in need, you know, and things that that are needed, and it'll be something that besides what we do at the church, it'll be for you to do. So we've never had anything, you know, designated like that. So we'll have a little box back there, and you can put your little offerings in each Sunday, and then Brother Terrence and Brother Gary Krantz will be taking care of deciding who will receive what and all, and it'll be up to them. And so if you do that, that'll be fine. And like I announced now, that all the children, we always give every Christmas, we always give to the people, you know, and all. And if you want your adults, now the children get theirs, but if adults, if you want yours to go into that fund, be fine, because we generally give you a gift card from Walmart. And so anybody's needy can always go to Walmart, you know, because everybody knows where that's at. And they can do that and do. And if you don't want your offering of Christmas gift to you, let it be put in the box. And like I told you, we're going to put it where that if you're not here and don't tell us that you're not going to be here, then we're going to just drop yours in there, and it'll go there in, you know, in that, and then be used for that doing. All right. Now, also, while we're announcing, there will not be a Wednesday night service next week, because it falls on the 24th. Everybody will be wanting to be with their families around for the, you know, the Christmas Eve time and all, so we just won't have a midweek service. I don't like to do that, but when it falls that close, it just, we'll go ahead and just not have one. So everybody understand, only one service is coming Sunday, with morning service and our lunch together, our whatever you want to call it, dinner and things together and fellowshipping, and then no service on Wednesday night following. All right, then Brother Richard Wilson, the Lord willing, will be here with us for the watch night service and taking the services on that Wednesday. So just pray that the Lord would bless each one. Sister Janet gave me a little note that you remember the other week that Brother Hal came up and asked us to pray about his brother's daughter. I reckon that's right, brother's daughter. Yeah, granddaughter. Yeah, all right. You remember she hadn't been eating, you know, and it's been going for a long time, for about 2 years. And she was just starving, but now she's beginning to at least take some liquids and things and all like that, and improving, and actually wanting to go out and shop for clothing and things, you know. So that's a great improvement. We thank God for doing and believing it, you know, for doing his work. Because after we prayed here, we believed in all that someone touched God for the little girl, and we thank God for it. Amen. So just keep praying for her, because you know how the devil will do. He'll jump on and try to hinder that, you know, and cause all kind of a chemical reactions in the body when they do start eating back after being so long. But we'll just pray that all that will be taken care of. Amen. It'll all be this done, okay? Now, if you like turning your scriptures, turn to Leviticus 23. This will probably be, I don't know, 3 or 4, 5 or 6 services, maybe longer than that, on, because I had a request to speak on the 7 feast days. The 7 feast days you'll find in Leviticus 23. So that'll give you something to be reading on that you can read ahead of time if you like and look and see what they mean and what's going on. And tonight's message will just be kind of an introduction or a thought to you know, get into that. And then we'll get into what each feast day was and what it was represented. But it'll be, you know, tonight's will be the 7 feast days. Now, the thought for tonight will be the difference between the Sabbath and the feast days. Now, that'll be the thought for tonight, the difference between the Sabbath and the feast days. Okay? So we'll get into that point, all right? So Leviticus 23. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace and your love unto us. Thank you for all things. We ask you that you would just bless and guide each and every one of us in our understanding. And as we read your word, that you would come on the scene to quicken that word unto us, because we know that within ourselves there is nothing we can do to help anyone other than a lengthy debate. And Father, that would be no good. But one word from you would be worth all night of the talking and things. So we ask you to come and just speak to our hearts and guide each and every one of us in the light of your love. And let your grace be sufficient for all the needs that we have. Thank you for touching the little girl, our Lord. And we pray that you would just continue to make her whole and bring her out of this and back to the right understanding and eating and everything, Lord. And let the body restore, Lord, to where that it would be what it's supposed to be for a young girl, Lord. We love you and we thank you. Just have your way now and forgive our sins. Thank you for touching Brother and Sister Beam, Lord, and knowing the report is that Brother Beam is doing better, Sister Beam is doing great, and Brother Beam is doing better, Lord, and we receive that notice, so we thank you. And we pray that you would just bless and guide each one now, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was going to read Exodus, but we'll read that one in a minute. Let's just read Leviticus 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast. 6 days shall work be done, but the 7th day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, as I said, this will basically just be an introduction thought, and it was given to me to speak on these, and I've told you before, any topic you desire for us to speak on, just write it down and give it to me, and I'll try to cover it as best as I can, and I'll to see what the scripture says and what the prophet said. Now, what's the points tonight, because they'll be very needful later on as we get into the feast days. This will be very important because, see, there is a difference between the Sabbath and the feast days. All right? Now, that's why it says, see, even Scofield picks his thought up, you know, and covers that there's a difference in it. And not because he says it, but because it covers it. See, and if you're reading Leviticus 23, 1 through 3, you talk about the feast days, proclaiming them, the convocations, which a convocation is more or less, it's an announcement of something but it is also a time of gathering, you know, and doing things like that. Now, we'll cover these as we go along. But then you start in verse 4, and it says, these are the feasts of the Lord. You start off, and the first one would be the feast of the Passover, or the Lord's Passover. So we'll try to each one, or maybe two for a service, whatever time we have to, you know, we want to cover it. But the main thought is now, the difference between, say, the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath is a convocation. It's a time set aside. It's a doings. You know, it's a gathering. But yet, you don't have to gather on a Sabbath. You know what I'm saying? On a convocation, it would mean gather type of thing, or unity, or coming together. But like on a Sabbath, see, if you didn't have to everybody run into a place, whereas you would for a feast day. A feast day would be a gathering more than just a day. Because we'll find out when we get in them, some of the feast days lasted for a whole week. All right? So we're trying to cover the difference between the two. The Sabbath is a day of rest. All right? A day of rest. Now we'll cover that in a minute, what it's speaking about for the younger ones. But yet now, here's the one point I want you to get. That what the Lord is doing, He's giving these feast days, seven feast days. It'll all mingle together, but what's the difference? Some will be dealing with the fact of they left Egypt. All right? And a celebration of coming out of Egypt. Now remember, in Leviticus, they hadn't entered into the promised land. See, you get on over to Joshua going into the promised land. All right? So now, in the journey in the wilderness, the Lord is giving these, or setting aside these feast days. Like I said, now, I know basically the first and the second one, like the Passover and the offering of the unleavened and all like that, was a celebration of them coming out of Egypt. And we'll probably be covering each one of them in a way. But here's the point I want you to get. A feast day, a time of gathering, a celebration for something. Now look, some of them will deal, as I said, celebrate that you come out of Egypt. All right? Now watch that as we go along. You read them, it'll be celebrating you come out of Egypt. Celebrate this. But then as we keep getting closer and closer, more into the days, you'll find, you know, the feast days, you'll find it celebrating that they're already in the land. Now, are you listening? You say, well, they're not there. But that don't have anything to do with it. God is giving them a celebration while they're in the journey. See? Not of just coming out. See? It'll deal with that. See, each one will deal with that. But the celebration is that you're celebrating that you're already in the land. Because when you come into the land, do so and so. Alright? See, isn't that the way God would speak to the children of Israel? When you come into the land, do this. When you come into the land, do this, keep this day. When you come into the land. But the Sabbath was set aside right there. The Sabbath was not necessarily a feast. It was a day that was set aside. All right. A time, a date, one day out of every week. Whereas I said, we'll get into the feast days. Some of them lasted for 7 days or whatever days, you know. It would be the difference in it. But get the point of what I'm saying then. What about God giving a celebration to celebrate these things that you'll do when you get in the land, but start celebrating them now? Right? Start Israel, start celebrating these feast days now. Don't wait till you get into the land to celebrate. Amen. And that's what I've always said about people. We say, oh, one day we're going to get over yonder. One of these days we're going up to heaven. Oh, we're going to have a great time when we get over in that millennium. The prophets told us all about it. But where's the celebration now? I enjoyed, and we'll get into it later on one of the Passovers with what Aaron was saying there Sunday. I've got to listen to that one, and Brother Yabode, I got those two at least caught up. But where Aaron was talking about, and we'll get to it, where you cook that whole lamb and then you got to eat him. Right. And then you got to cook him with herbs, let alone cooking the whole rascal, you know, with the guts and everything in him, and then you got to eat it. This ain't no joyous thing sometimes, you know, but they done that, you know. And I'll bet you one thing for sure. Now, what would one of your children say if you set them down? I don't want that. I liked the way Brother David Buckley, years ago, he used to come down through here, and I don't know, he had two or three children. I don't remember how many, but I remember especially the little boy. And we were sitting there one night to eat, and he said, I don't want none of that. But David said, put it on his plate. He said, now if he'd have said respectively, you know, in a nice way, I don't like that. He said, he passes, he doesn't have to eat it. But said, when he says, I don't want that, he said, he's going to eat it. You know, and I like that. You'd say, oh, that's being child abuse. Well, that's it. All right. You probably raised some good children, but at least there's one thing about it. They didn't say, I don't want that. They learned to speak nice and respectable, you know, about the things. But get to point now, because this is the main thing, and I want you to see. That the feast days were to be, they were to take place while they were still in the journey. Not when they finished the journey. This wasn't to say, now, when you enter the land, you do this. No, he's setting it up. Now, sure, when they got there, they done these things. Right? We know that. But get to point. The Sabbath day was set aside as a day. But it was also set to the point that they would start these feast days while they were still in the journey. Not after they entered the land. And you and I should be happy about our salvation and be celebrating. You know, why do we sing and worship and things? Well, I think I've overcome. I hope I've overcome. Maybe I will. You know, no. No, we should be rejoicing about we've already are overcomers. See, now when we get to the Sabbath, really to covering it, then you'll see that the Sabbath day was a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, in the baptism of the Holy Ghost is everyday life and happiness in the Holy Ghost. Not waiting to a certain day of the week. It's in Christ. All right. But now, let's get to point now. The difference between the Sabbath and the feast days. The Sabbath was a day. It was not only a day as a Sabbath, it was a year of a Sabbath, because they would have a sabbatical, whatever you call it, year, that you laid out the land, you done this, that, the other. But see, they already started this in the wilderness. Once they left Egypt, some of these things were celebrating what they had left, as I said a moment ago. But some of them were celebrating where they were going. Why can't we be that way in our Christian experience? See? All right, now, the prophet gave it to you on the future home. I gave you the quote there of it. That there are seven feast days. All right, we can read it in Leviticus because it's easy. If you got a Scofield Bible, it's listed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in Leviticus 23. All right. But now there's seven feast days, which is a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I know where he covered it later, and we'll try to bring that around if necessary, to where he's talking about between the trumpets and things. He says they were 7 months instead of 7 weeks. But that was to a theologian to get caught up. There's no need of you and I getting into a theological understanding. We just understand that the feast days were the type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost during the church ages. And that you and I, during the ages, can celebrate these feasts. But Brother Dale, we don't celebrate spiritually the Passover. We don't take the communion in representation of the Passover. We don't do those things. Well, that's Old Testament stuff. No, we don't do the bogs. We don't do the but we make the bread unleavened. We do all of those things. Well, why not have a time of feasting upon the truth of the hour that you and I can live each day, and have everyone down through the ages of the baptism of the Holy Ghost could have that joyous festivity in their heart all the time. We don't have to wait until Sunday to get pumped up, do we? Or Wednesday, you know. I never did like that statement. I know what it means, but I always meant it at work. They always said Wednesday is the hump day. I meant that at work. I never meant that at church. You understand what I'm saying? It was meant for work, not at church. Church is not supposed to be the hump day. It's just another day of worship. We should have every day the same. If we could, it would be great to get together every day and have church. And you say, well, we couldn't stand that. Well, there's a Baptist down here in Florida, I think it is, that years ago they had went about, I forgot how many years that they had went having services every day. He said, well, we just knocked that away, brother. Well, I guess you're right. You just knocked that away. Maybe they got more than we have. Well, now you shouldn't have put that on the end of it. Well, why not? But now listen. The Sabbath day was placed in the commandments. Right? But the feast days wasn't stated of those type of things in that order. Spoke of, yes, but not in the order. See, in Exodus 20, if you want to go there and read it, you look at it and it tells you about the Sabbath. All right? The day of rest. Now, here's one thing, Brother Claude Weisinger, he and I and Wade were talking about these things and have been backwards and forth, and I'd like to really hear what he's had to say on them, because, you know, I picked up some thoughts from him, and I knew the difference, but I never just thought, well, the word means that, but we'll get to it in a minute. But see, on the Sabbath day, you could do no work. All right. Now, that's got to be laid down correctly or you're out of the scriptures. Because, see, as we'll get to it in a minute, in Acts 1 and 12, you could only travel a Sabbath day's journey. Schofield says that's about 4,854 feet. And if it's 5,280 feet to a mile, in other words, you had less than a mile's journey. If you had 3 miles journey, it would still wouldn't be very far. You couldn't go but that far on a Sabbath. But it doesn't say anything about the feast days. But you do no work. No work on the Sabbath. Why? Because the seventh day, now, all right, to cover that just a second for the new ones, we worship in honor of the resurrection on the first day of the week. All right. Now, the old Sabbath is Saturday. Your seventh day Adventist are correct about their seventh day, because Saturday is the seventh day. But they're not correct when they're saying that the Sabbath is the seventh day is the Holy Ghost. See, that's where we differ with them about it. It's not the Holy Ghost. Because we don't have a commandment in the Bible to keep any certain day in the New Testament. We're to keep every day the same. But we worship on the first day of the week as an honor of the resurrection, because the Bible said that Jesus being raised early there in Mark on the first day of the week. All right. Sabbath day deals with rest. So the children of Israel were given that. They would work 6 days. They rested the seventh. And I'll give it to you in a minute somewhere in here where that when it got over there that in the time of Moses, when the commandments had been given, and he didn't know exactly what to do about, they found a guy picking up sticks on the Sabbath. Well, Moses went before the Lord, and the Lord said, stone him to death. Because it was something he was not supposed to be doing. All right. On that Sabbath day. He was not to do that. You said, well, you got to cook. No, they cooked on the Saturday, you know, their sixth day, which would have fallen on Friday. You had to cook enough for the next day. Now, if you'll notice in the scripture here, of what we read about it, Leviticus 23 and 3, that you do no work. But when you get over to the Exodus, well, let's just read that. We got plenty of time to take these points. Because I want you to see it. So look at Exodus 20, verse 8 is where we'll start at. Now these are the Ten Commandments that were given. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter. See, now here's the way we read it. The son and the daughter didn't work, but you had slaves at work. Now that's not what it says. Listen. Thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Alright. See, they rested on the Sabbath day because God created the world in 6 days and rested the seventh day. Man fell in the seventh day or the rest day. Alright. Now, in doing that, see, then you don't do any work. And you don't make your maids do any work. You don't make your slaves do any work. It was a whole complete day. The animals didn't have to go out there and tie them and make them walk around and around and keep, you know, doing things, grinding up the wheats or whatever you're doing. Everything took one day off. You said, well, how in the world could you do that? All right, you had to cook enough. See, on the sixth day, to be able to live the next day. Now, you could eat on the Sabbath, but you was not to do any form of work. Now, when Jesus, I'll give you the scripture in a minute, when Jesus comes over there, him and his disciples one day was walking on the Sabbath day through the corn and pulling the ears of corn, which was legal under the law. See? You left even the corners of your property, etc., to where that the strangers could come through your property. He could take what he could eat, but he couldn't take none out with him. Right? Now he could pull off, eat him a corn, ear of corn, handful of wheat, whatever you had, you know. See, today you'd have beans and whatever, you know, potatoes or something, you know. But you were allowed to eat that, but you couldn't take anything with you. Because, see, that would have been wrong. And we used to muzzle the horses because they ate the corn. You ever was plowing behind an old mule or a horse and you'd hear him every once in a while, oomph. Well, you just lost that stalk of corn. So they muzzled it, you know. You put a thing over it where he couldn't get it up into his mouth. But in the Old Testament, you couldn't do that. You couldn't muzzle the ox that done the plowing. See, because those things, God set it aside. All right, but see, to Jesus now, when he was going through there, And when he was doing that, then they come to him and said, you're doing things on the Sabbath day. It's not right. Well, they couldn't say he's doing something wrong about gathering it. But see, they were claiming that wasn't right to do it like that and do it on the Sabbath day. And Jesus reminded them of when David come along and was hungry and went into the temple. Now, not into the Holy of Holies, but he went into the holy place and took the shewbread that was set aside for the priest, and he and his men ate that because they were hungry. See, God understands that. All right? And Jesus said, now listen, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Right? See, they get on to him about healing. Remember, he healed the one there and told him to take up his bed and walk. Well, see, when the big old Pharisees found the man carrying his bed, they was upset. Who give you the right to carry your bed on the Sabbath day? He said, the man that healed me. Well, who healed you? We don't know. I don't know who it was. So he finally found out who it was, and he went back and told him. Now, it's after Jesus for those things, but now here's my point, before I forget it. He said to them that day, he said, is it wrong to do good on the Sabbath? That's what I was saying there a moment ago now. When you say on the Sabbath day, you couldn't do no work. All right, now you got to define the word work. Okay? You remember Jesus about it? I'll be glad to give you these scriptures. When Jesus was talking about, he said, now, if a sheep, falls into a pit. In other words, you say, you got to stay till tomorrow. Well, now you got to do work to get him out of there. Right? Right. You got to do labor to get him out of that place. So things were okay on the Sabbath. That's why Jesus said, now you say, is it wrong to do good on the Sabbath? He said, now, he said it like this. He said, you go out and do you take the oxen? In other words, don't you take it out on the Sabbath and water it? There were certain things that could be done on the Sabbath day. Okay? But when it says don't do no work, all right, now we're going to get in a minute where we talk about servile work. But don't do no work now. It's laying down. But yet it's okay to pull the oxen out of the ditch, as we call it. The sheep out of the pit. It's okay to water them. It's okay to do those things because God understood. Now if you go back in the Old Testament, find out that they circumcised on the eighth day. All right? Now, see, which would be a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So they circumcised on the eighth day. It didn't say you circumcise him, but if it comes up on a Sabbath, you gotta wait and go another day. No, it doesn't say that. See? In other words, there was things the priest done on the Sabbath that was not breaking the law. You remember when like a lady of her monthly uncleanness. She had to go make an offering on the eighth day. So there were certain things done, but not the form of what we call work. You say, well, getting it out of the ditch or doing this. Now, walking and doing, that was all right. Because here's my point. Do we look at the Sabbath day as a rest? If you do, then I wonder what your Holy Ghost that you're talking about. Do you look at a Sabbath day as a day, or do you look at it as an opportunity to worship? Where would worship ever be wrong? On what day would you determine that you could only worship 6 days and not worship the Sabbath? The Sabbath was set aside for the purpose of worship. In other words, you ain't got nothing to do all day long. All you do is just get up, eat what little bit you left over from yesterday, you know, and you worship God. All right. You couldn't go over a certain mileage, so you had problems if you were way out. You know. But yet you could take that day. And it was proven that when we were crossing the United States going west with the old wagons, that those that traveled 6 days and rested a day made it quicker than those that traveled 7 days. Those were proven. Why? Because it's an honor. It's just like letting the land lay out 1 year. We call it row croppings and different things. You know, what we're talking about today are what they call it, the CRP fields now, that they, where you let it lay out. And then if you're doing that, the government will actually even pay you if you own big property. They will pay you to let this lay out this year, and you don't do nothing to it. And you work over here. You know, you don't even bush hog it. You don't do anything. But then the next year you can come in and do this, and the government will pay you for those things because they know that it helps the land. But are you getting the point now? We talk about a Sabbath and we think nothing can't be done. See? You get up and you sit there. All day long you sit there. Well, we hear when this day gets over with. It wouldn't be much of a joyous festivity, would it? No, but there's certain things you could do. I said the circumcision could take place. The offering of cleansing could take place. There's many things that were offered that could take place actually on the Sabbath day and not break the law. All right? And see, it would put that then that the Sabbath is a day, but it's a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Not just a Sabbath day keeping, but an eternal rest by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? See, then that seventh day rest in the Old Testament spoke of the new birth that come on the day of Pentecost, which fell on a 50, which was an 8. All right? Now these will be covered as we're going along. But I'm wanting you to see the difference between a Sabbath. And even in the Sabbath, there were certain things that could be done. It ain't like you just lay it down that you can't do nothing on the Sabbath. Right. Right. Then you get in trouble with the Scriptures. There were certain things, but you couldn't do any laborious work. You done what was necessary. If you had to pull the sheep out of the pit, it was necessary. If you led the oxen out to water, it was necessary. But you didn't work him. You didn't do any work like that. Now when you get on down into the next one that we'll cover later, it uses the word servile work. So always on a feast day, see, the word servile was used. Remember how you pronounce that word? S-E-R-V-I-L-E, servile. And that word means like slave labor is actually the best definition. It means labor or service, like labor of a servant or a slave. Okay, now, see the difference between the Sabbath, you was doing things of necessity. Right? Now you're talking about not doing any hard labor on these days of the feast days. But it didn't mean that you couldn't work, because some of them lasted 7 days. But you didn't do any servile work. In other words, you didn't do any slave labor. Cooking is not slave labor. I know some of you women think that, but that's not, you know, that's not it. You can get by with it, though, because you do like Sister Peggy done. Me and Brother Dean was going to, I think it was Colorado that time, and we got there real early, and I said, Sister Peggy, you got breakfast fixed? She said, yeah, here's the money. You stop down at the Waffle House. So that's the way of getting around servile labor. All right, but you know the difference now. See, what I'm trying to do is get a difference, because it'll be valuable when we get into the feast days. And you'll see, like I said, that some of them lasted 7 days. Well, now 7 days, you couldn't cook enough food to last 7 days, especially in that climate, it's situation things, you know. And there were certain things that had to be done during a week's whole time. They wasn't just sitting there, just saying, no. There was things they could get up and do. Because now watch what I'm saying. We have nothing to do with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's God accepting us. But there are certain things. It's just like Brother Claude and I were talking the other day about it. You know, and the one point that always bothered me, Brother Brown said, and I knew the Bible, that no man sought God at any time. I knew that. But I knew also that I cried and prayed. I know a lot of people done a lot of fasting and a lot of things, you know, seeking the Lord. But see, that bothered me because, you know, I knew that we did do those things. But see, the Scripture's got to have an answer. And the Scripture says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So the goodness of God led you to start seeking for God, but it was already God seeking you to start with. Do you understand? See, you just were doing something to do that part, and that's the way it is with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now we say, oh, okay, then, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you just take over, Lord, and do what you want to now. Anything you want me to do now, you just let me know. Now that's not exactly the way it is. Amen. That was my point of trying to define on the Sabbath day that there were things that were of necessity. They were offerings that could be made. There were things that could be done on the Sabbath day that didn't violate the Sabbath day. When you get born again, that seventh day back there was a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And salvations of the Lord. Amen. But what we do and don't do proves who we are. Right? You sit around, oh, I'm a Christian. No, we're supposed to act like one. So there are certain things that we do. Brother Randall said to a person one time, said, they said, well, I got a stingy spirit. He said, solve that, just give away everything. Well, that's works. See, that's where the sisters say, well, that cutting of the hair and the wearing of the pants and the jewelries and the different things, well, that's an Old Testament custom. No, it's a worship. Come on. It's a worship because it's keeping God's word. Look at it that way one time and you'll stop trimming that hair and painting your faces and doing things. You'll stop it because, see, you'll realize that it's a worship. And you realize you're breaking the Scriptures where it says if you cut your hair, you're dishonoring your head. And if you dishonor your head, you're dishonoring His head, which is God. You understand what I'm saying? The Sabbath day was a day of worship. The Sabbath day to me is a day of worship. Not one day, every day. It doesn't matter where I'm working, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. It's supposed to be a rest day, because he that had entered into rest ceased from his own labors, I'm quoting Scripture, as God did from his. You know? But I guess God quit over there and sent one up. Sat there, because that was 1,000 years, remember? 1,000 years a day, and the day is 1,000 years. You mean he sat around 1,000 years and didn't do nothing? No, according to Brother Branham, which is what I like, when we fail in that rest, he come right down. And he's down here now, busying himself. He said he busied himself with the children of Israel down through the journey. But you understand what? The Sabbath is a day that you rest. Speaking of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which you would enter into that rest, cease from your own labors of trying to save yourself. And be as I said that Jesus raised the first day of the week. He didn't raise on the Sabbath. He raised the first day of the week. See, there's an argument among organized religion that, you know, they try to get that 3 days and three nights, as he said that the Son of Man must be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And they try to get that in there and try to get it some way where they can make the resurrection come. And what they do, they say Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They say, well, he's crucified on Thursday. Well, the prophet said he's crucified on Friday. But you can't get 72. Well, that's not the point. It's not 72 hours that you're talking about. It's the point of the resurrection. See? And see, they prove, well, if it had to be this, then he must have rose light right at the end of, if you ever heard the doctrine, they say he rose up right at the end of the Sabbath, which would have been the Saturday, and then he appeared, didn't appear to nobody until the first day of the week. Now, the Bible says being risen.
Amen. That's it.
The first day of the week. Now, that's just, you say, well, that's an imperfection in translation. Well, that's your business. You go right ahead. But see, what I'm trying to get you to see is, there's a difference between when you get to the point of nothing that you can do under arrest, and then find out under a feast time that there are things you must do to bring that feast into position. But listen, both of them is a worship time. But do you only worship when you come to church? I've been out in the woods when I was just totally by myself and nobody for a mile and just having me a good time. Worshiping God. Wake up in the middle of the night and just lay there and pray for a minute, like I've always told you. What's that word, insomnia, where you can't sleep? Quit trying to count sheep and talk to the shepherd. You start praying for me and see if you won't go to sleep. Boy, punch her. Okay, punch her. I've heard it. Janet doesn't sleep a lot, you know, stays awake. Well, pray for me. That's what Brother Al one time, he said, I've been waking up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning every morning for the longest. I said, you pray for me? And he said, yeah, I did. I said, Lord, wake him up at 1 the next time. And I'm serious. Why can't we be a Christian all 24 hours a day, 7 days of the week? Whether you're at work or at home or at play or what you do, hunting, fishing, whatever you like to do, why can't you be a Christian? They could do certain things under the Old Testament Sabbath. See, I'm trying to get that out of your mind, that on the Sabbath you couldn't do nothing. But get it down to things that could be done out of necessity. But you couldn't go out and pick up sticks to cook your bread. You're supposed to have done that. You're supposed to prepare for the Sabbath. Right? Now, like if you were going to leave the land lay out for a year, what'd you do? You better prepare a whole lot. Because it's going to be 1 year that you don't get nothing off of your ground that you've got. Because you're letting it lay out. See, store up food. I've read and read and read and read and read and not get a thing. You ever done that? Read a whole book. Read 10 chapters in the Bible, not get a thing. Right? I'm just honest with you. Every time I pick up the Bible, it don't jump off the pages in my face. I read sometimes day in and day out, don't get a thing. But see, then all at once, it will jump off the page, right? But you know why to do that? Because you read and you read and you read. Why? You stored up the food. You got ready. But you see, church, when they entered that land of the promised land, they didn't have to plant. It was already full grown. The old corn of the land. And you know the manna ceased? Read your Bible. The manna that the children of Israel was fed by day by day in the wilderness. Do you know when they ate the old corn of the land in the land of Canaan, that manna stopped? That's Bible. Read it. And when it stopped, what did it do? Well, it didn't do away, because that old corn of the land was stronger. More revelation coming. See all of these things and what they mean. But you see what I'm talking about? Now there's certain things. But then when you come to saying no servile work, it means you don't do any laborious form of work during that time. In other words, you have a feast time. If you go back and calculate these feasts, you find out that a lot of times they were off a lot of days. They got vacations, as we call it now. They got time off. Why? Because they kept these things. But as they worship, whereas the Sabbath was a day, a feast would be for many days. Because once you get into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, once you get the new birth, which is what that seventh day rest spoke of, look at the stature of a perfect man. How do you get up that pyramid? Thank God for the revelation, how you get up it. How do we get patience? Well, this tribulation works with patience. We just beat each other to death. No, that don't work. It's the opening of the Word. Amen. It's the old corn of the land that where you're pounding and pounding. Right. Sometimes going over the same thing and over it, pounding it. Yep. I'll tell you one thing. When we get there, there won't be no point. I was listening to Aaron. I said, well, amen for that one. And listen to what he had to say there Sunday, you know, or last Sunday, when he was talking about, we've heard it. Well, we've got no excuse at Lula. It hadn't been no 7-11 ever service, you know, just, oh, we're good, we're doing, oh, go, glory, hallelujah, we're ready to go. No, we've been pounding on the Word. But yet at the same time, why can't we have a joyous festivity about it? I'm happy about the things that God has revealed unto me. You sit down sometimes and think about where you come from and what you thought years ago. Of course, most of you are, you won't do that, you'll think you had it back there. And you won't admit that you didn't have it back there. And you say, well, Brother Dale, you're trying to make something out of yourself. I didn't say it. God said the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. I didn't say it. I'm just trying my best to do what he's telling me to do. Do you see what I'm talking about? You couldn't do no labor on the Sabbath. But then when it come to the feast days, no servile, no laborish form. You know, no planting, no harvesting, no laborish form. But yet you know for 7 days they had to cook, they had to wash. Of course, as I said, some sisters think washing is a bad word because it's called W-O-R-K, work, you know, and all, but, all right. But listen, on the Sabbath you ate what was prepared the day before. But when you come to the festivities or a feast day, it was established. It didn't have to be like this or that. It could fall. And most of the time he would say the first day of the week, you know, or the first day, or then he'd say the, you know, whatever. He would designate for them, but get the point. I remember one time there that in the Bible that they found a scroll that they didn't know they had, that was there. And they stood for six hours to hear that scroll read and worshiped for 6 hours. Church, if you don't get nothing out of this, get this one point. It was a thrill to me when we were there when it was told us, when we were looking at the place, the man where he laid out, if you remember the whole layout of, and it's built little small houses and it shows what it looked like in the time of Jesus Christ. And while they were telling it, Reuben told me, and I wrote it in the Psalms, of the certain Psalms that they sing as they were going up that, you know, I can't even visualize it. I can't visualize how that there's one group of people standing on this one singing Amazing Grace. The other one's on this one singing No, Not One. The other one up here singing, you know, I'd love to see it, you know. But my point was, it was a thrill to me to find out that they just didn't stumble. Here we're going to church again. We got to go into church. Be good, kids, now, because we're going to preach or get on to you. Now, it was singing, worshiping. You know that the children of Israel, the reason they do this, the Wailing Wall, they do that all the time when they're praying. I've seen them on the airplane doing that, praying. You know why? Because they believe God is a God of action. God is a God of action. And for them, it would be a disgrace for them to stop. Because He's a God of action or movement. Listen, church, do you understand what I'm talking about? There were certain things you could do under the Sabbath. Why? Because in Jesus Christ, there are certain things God expects us to do. You say, oh no, I'm in the rest. He doesn't know. You're so carnal, you don't even know what I'm talking about. There's certain things God expects you and I to do. But you know, the one thing that He shouldn't have to expect us to do is one point. Worship. Worship. It should be a worship 24 hours a day in our lives. Well, it's hard for me to worship when I'm hitting my finger and then I turn around and say, you know, that's what we do, you know. That's what I told a man at work one time. He kept saying these bad words when he died. I said, why don't you say praise the Lord? No. I said, you hit your hand, say praise the Lord. If you've got to say something, say praise the Lord. You know. Instead of just being, oh, we always got, well, I just couldn't help that. It sneaked out. But listen. On the feast days, you could do more than what you done on the Sabbath, is my point. Listen. But you was not to do any slaverish form of work. Planting, harvesting, doing those type of things. Everything had to be scheduled to where that sometimes you would have a feast on the first day of the week and a feast on the last day of the week or something. And you kept them out of love instead of out of hatred. I mean, is that what you think about being a Christian? Oh, here we go. We've got to go back on Wednesday. They're going on Sunday. Why can't we be the same all the time? Why can't we consider it to be a feast? A joyous time. What are you doing sitting under them? We'll get to it on over later. Sitting under, they cut down and make little bogs and little things and little booths, and they just sit in them. You say, well, that's so carnal. If they just sat down there. Well, you know, that we'll get to it. That speaks of this fella. Okay? It speaks of this body that I'm talking about. And aren't we supposed to be happy all the time in the Lord? Well, the Lord Jesus wasn't happy when He's hung on the cross. You and your carnality, may it perish with you. You don't understand what's being said. The Holy Ghost is our rest. But the Holy Ghost is in action. Now, after, listen to what I'm saying now. I'll bring it to a close. See, after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the rest, the Sabbath, now, let me state it this way. All right. You can't do anything to get saved. We agree, right? Salvation's of the Lord. He called you. You accept it. But now after you're born again, these are the things He expects you to add. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. See, after you're born again, where do we get to that, and where's the unleavened bread and the two loaves? And Brother Brown said that Jew didn't even understand what them two loaves was about. But you see, he did. Thank God for the answer. He understood what it was talking about. But see, watch now. Coming into the Holy Ghost is all God bringing us to salvation. But after you're born again, He expects you to live right, to do right. It's hard sometimes to preach and and not cover so many thoughts. Do you know that it, you know, when you put your money in the offering plate, you know what that is? You know that's worship. It's worship for you to be able to give your money. Well, it wasn't worship to me. I slaved and earned. No, no. He only wants 10%. He ordained it that way. Just 10%. And if you don't give it, you're not worshiping. Brother Dale, I can't afford to. I've told you. You come to me. You come to me and I'll work out things with you about your tithe. I'll work it out with you. I've done many a thing because I have that authority of being pastor. It's not that you don't pay it. I can just work out a lot of things with you. But you try God and see whether or not He means it. Yeah. Well, I can't afford to. Can't afford not to, yeah. But you understand what I'm saying about the difference between a feast day and the rest day? A rest day is to bring us into Christ. But a feast day is a joyous festivity of our Christian experience. Sisters, if you thought like that, see, then you would be honored when you walk into a place and they look at you and say, "You've never cut your hair?" Well, why? I said, because I don't want to. That just stops them, don't it? I'm not saying about you because you shave your head. You know? I'm just being what I want to be. Because I want to be what the Bible says about me. I want to be a Christian. Is it a drudgery to come to church? Is it a drudgery to pay your tithe? Is it a drudgery to dress right and act right? No, it should be a worship. Everything we do ought to be worship. Praying over your food. I noticed Brother Ernie Villanueva, a few times some people would ask him to say prayers, and I've always prayed for him until I seen what he'd do, because he'd come to my home, and you watch what he does, you say, "Brother Ernie, lead us in prayer." What are you doing? I'm pausing because that's what he does. He doesn't. Most people, he say, "Lead us in prayer." And say, "Lord, bless this food and do this." No, Brother Ernie will sit there for a while. Like I said, many a time I've almost prayed outwardly because I thought he didn't hear the person tell him to pray. But he sits there and gets in that chain of mind and then he prays. Why? Because it's worship. Brother Gary, everything we do as a Christian ought to be worship. All these feast days, what are they speaking of? As I said to start with, what are they speaking of? Do these while you're in the journey. And when you get into the land, there will be so much more honorable and you'll, in other words, you'll look at it so much different when you get there. And you'll see that this is what we was doing in the journey. When we get there, it'll be a glorious time to look back upon the earth and see the times that we sacrificed and went to church, prayed and give our money and worshiped. See, on that feast day, you just didn't do the hard labor. But there was other things you had to do. You had to live. You had to survive. That's why it said, on the feast days, don't no servile work. We're in the to the Sabbath says no work. Because when you get into Christ, He expects you and I to. I thought we were the only mouthpiece that He had. I thought the only way the sinner could hear was by us. I thought we were the one that carried the message. In the Bible, Brother Dick likes this one over Revelation 19, where it doesn't say, "And the bride hath made herself ready." 90% of the people quoted that away. It doesn't say that. It says his wife. Why? Because a bride is when you first get married. A year or something like that, are you married? It's bride. Bride. Then after a while, this is my wife. Which means we take on the characteristics of each other. Me and my wife used to, we'd start to go to town years ago. We'd start up the road and she'd say, where you want to eat? I'd say, Ryan's. She said, you know, I was thinking about that. That's really one. But after you're married quite a while, you know what to say? We're going to town and say, where you want to eat? That I don't know because I can't remember where we ate the last time. And we come back home without going to town after what we went after because we done get forgetful. And both of us can't remember it. So we go around through the house. He called today and told Anna, said, Anna, go down to the house and make sure I turn the iron off. She said, you didn't check me. You know what we do? We go through the house looking. Did you do so-and-so? Did you do? Yeah, okay. Well, let's go look and make sure. You know, because the older we get. This part of husband, wife, right? You know. And both of us are that way. We started somewhere the other day and I turned and went the wrong way. She said, where are you going? I said, I don't know. I was used to going that way. But listen, the Christian life, we don't have to wait until we get into Canaan land. You know, get out of this world into the millennium. Canaan's not the top of the millennium, it's the top of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because there was labor in the Canaan land. They had to start planting, they had to start harvesting. Just because they went in there and everything was prime and ready, it wasn't ready the next year. They had to plant, they had to reap, they had to work. When we become Christians, God expects us to do what He gives us to do. But to do it out of the worship of love. Not out of a drudgery. Oh, you just, I just get so tired and Wednesday comes around, you know, and I'm just so tired I can't get there. I've found out a lot of times when you're real tired, you get up and start towards the church, you start worshiping and singing, and you'll find out that you sure didn't want to stay at home. Because I'll guarantee you one thing. The devil will tell you every Sunday morning, you need to lay up in bed and rest. But just as quick as it gets past the time you could leave and get to church, he's going to change his tactics. He's going to start telling you how sorry you are because you didn't get up and go. So you're not going to win with him. Quit listening to him and start worshiping. Come to church. The prophet said, come prayed up. As I said, I'd love to have seen that where the children of Israel were walking up. Evidently, they must have walked in sections. The only way I can understand. Because they'd be singing those psalms as they moved up those steps. And they'd move up those steps, singing the psalms before they were getting into the temple. Wouldn't that have been something to listen to that? Just sit there and hear them singing. We come in, well, I'll tell you what, somebody got in my seat today. Do like I told them out in Oklahoma when we was all out there. I said, we got in your chairs for a couple of days. We'll be gone. You can have them back. Yeah. But you see, it's not a drudgery to be a Christian. You say, well, we keep the Sabbath because it's a rest in Christ. But then what about every day? Getting ready for another feast. But don't you think they started preparing days ahead of time for a feast? Why? Because they were going to worship God. Wednesday's not a hump day for me. You know what Wednesday is for me? I start preparing for Sunday. Oh, you're the preacher. Yeah. You got to do that because you're the preacher. Well, you know, if you spent the time that I spend from Wednesday to Sunday praying and searching and crying out for something, I'll guarantee you God will meet you on Sunday just like he meets me, to bring the message to you. I challenge you to do that. Start praying for the service. Instead of, well, am I going to go again? Maybe we're going to take it too long today. We're going to be overtime. We're going to do this. Kill the whole effects because of our attitude and our ways. If you want any of these scriptures, I'll be glad to give them to you from where that, you know, that Jesus, and that just read your Bible and you'll find them. See? To where Jesus was healing that man. What about somebody being healed and you getting upset because he done it on the wrong day? You think we can't be that carnal? Come on, brother boy. The difference in a Sabbath and a feast day. A Sabbath was a day of rest, but a feast was a joyous festivity. A worship time. Let me say this about Brother Dick. How long ago was it, Brother Dick, when you caught on to where the Bible says God is an object of worship? I remember he was telling me it's been a few years ago that he really caught that. That the word God. Well, I read that 150 times for you. I read that in the 60s. He probably read it thousands of times. But he was talking to me one day and he said, you know what I saw? I saw God as an object of worship. Makes a lot of difference, man. And if God is the object of worship, what do you think He created us for? Didn't the prophet say He created us for worship? I fully don't understand it. I'm honest, but you know that He'll be out here in this. How do you say that word? Charismatic. You know that He's there when they're worshiping Him. You know, He's down at the Baptist when they're worshiping Him. Right? But what about when it's in truth? What about when it's in truth? Take what I'm saying, the difference. Get the point. We don't have to wait till we get into glory to worship. They were given these feast days in the journey to celebrate where they came from and to where they were going. They were given them in the journey. Let's stand. Go ahead. 119 in the Red Book. Anybody has a need? The truth, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God. Think about it. Tell him we're very proud of him. And to believe. We'll put this in his billfold. Take it with him. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we send this prayer cloth. You know the needs and the things that will be there in a young boy's life. So just you honor that he would try to do anything right. And then Satan will come on every hand to try to hinder. But we condemn all of that, and we believe that Jesus is your name. Let's go believe. Anybody else? Mercy whispers of love.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my
Savior.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We don't matter what day.
Right.
My brother can't get his medication regularly.
Father, we thank
you. You are the great physician.
You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus is your name. Our brother wants a prayer thought for his mother and for his brother. All the things that they have need of, we believe. And Lord, we accept and we thank you. You let the medication be there all right for his brother. Get everything straightened out. Father, you protect his mother from the things of Satan, because he'll try in every way to try to stop her of her testimony that what you've done for her. But we believe you, Father, and we thank you. In Jesus is your name.
Thank you.
Anybody else? A festivity, a joyous time. Oh! Our brother and sister is going to be traveling. So let's just believe that God will take care of everything. You know, we told you the story how that when we're up there in Oklahoma, and all at once the speedometer on the old truck just started messing up. And one time we'd be going down the road running 40 miles an hour, and the speedometer would be still all the way around to 140 or more. And the next time it'd be down to zero, so we had to use the RPM gauge to basically drive home, because we didn't have any way of knowing what speed we were running. And Brother Donnie, I called him and I said, what about it? Because, you know, we were going to have to get it fixed maybe. He said, well, as long as it's not messing up the shifting of your transmission, he said, everything's all right, because, see, that thing feeds back to the transmission, et cetera, and all of that works. So we just prayed, asked God to take care of it. And just believed. We made it home all right. Tried to get the thing fixed, and it still ain't fixed. But what I'm saying is, God will do what we ask him if we believe it. So we're going to pray and give these prayer cloths and them to put in the car, because they're going to be traveling long ways in bad weather and everything. So we're just going to pray that God will be with them and give them wisdom as to which way to go. When everything goes wrong, because it will, if Satan can do anything he can, and going out into there where the weather's at, into Colorado, New Mexico, you don't never know what the weather condition is going to be. So we pray that the Lord will just take care of them, all right, and give them traveling mercy. Father, we believe you. These prayer cloths will be taken, Father, and we believe that you'll give our brother and sister, little Josiah and Olivia, a very safe trip and a wonderful time to be with their families during these holiday seasons and things, and that you'll bring them back safely. Everything will be well. The car will be running great. Everything will be okay. All the weather conditions will be great. We love you. We thank you. We believe you. And Jesus is your name. Amen. Amen. Just believe that. Anybody else that doesn't have a need? Father, we know that Ashley and them's traveling this weekend, Father. We pray that you would just be with them. Our brother's standing here believing that. You said if any two agree, then it would be given for your honor and glory. Father, just give them a safe journey. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Worship and believe. I love you. Do you? Father, Lord Jesus, pain in the body is horrible because difference in the things our brother has had done to his body has created a lot of problems. slip and fell, and now it's bothered him a lot. But we believe you, Father, that by your stripes he's healed. We thank you. Thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for the healing atonement of Calvary. And we condemn this hurt now under the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you, Father. We thank you. We worship you. Give you the honor and glory for all things. Now just come on the scene at this instant. All through the body. In Jesus' name. Go believe it, brother. Anybody else? In moments like this, I sing out a song. Do you? Worship! Worship don't have to be running and going and doing. That's the point I was trying to make about the feast. They were doing things, but they were worshiping while they were doing it. The sisters cooking, they said, oh, glory, we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a feast in a day or two. We're going to do this. It wasn't a labor. It wasn't hard labor. They were doing what they were doing. They loved to do it. Father, we love you. We thank you. Just reach down and touch our sister, Father. Forgive her for letting the devil get in the way and hinder her a lot. Yet it's a normal thing of life. It's things we face every day. It's living and doing. But we pray that you would just come to our sister and Lord and just deliver her from herself, that she could, Lord, walk in you and worship you wherever, whatever. We ask you, Father, to just come to her in your own loving way and guide and bless. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Just believe him and just say thank you. Anybody else? So just start saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hurting all over, or sick, or whatever, just say, thank you, Lord. Say, thank you, Lord. My hands to the Lord. Anybody else? See, it's what you believe. It ain't what you feel, it's what you believe. Then when you believe it, there'll automatically be feelings follow your belief. I challenge your faith on that. Believe what God says. Lord, I love you. Think about him. Heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. That's the only way you can see him. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Let's believe. Okay. Father, you heard our sister. She has a desire for somebody else to find a way. And Lord, we ask that you do this. Because you said that you would if we believed you. We thank you. Just reach down and touch the family. Deliver. Be with each one of them, Father. Have your way in Jesus' name. And love as we sing, holy, holy. What about those angels all day, all night? Holy, holy, holy. God don't get upset at them because that's all that they're singing it. He understands your little worship, children. You think God don't understand? He understands even the children and their worship. You see, the children here Sunday as they were standing here, I just sat there and wept. You see them with their little bells and their little things, doing what they could. And they're singing and their parts that they took a long time to work and get them all to where they could just say a few words, then a few words, a few words. God loves that. I want to see. I want to see. See what? The eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want. I want to see. What do you want to see? See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. Sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see. Do you? You'll see him through the revealed word. Not the letter. Through the revealed word. And there's true worship. Worship is, we think worship has got to be running the aisles and doing. That's wonderful if that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. Do that because it's according to your nature. Have a wonderful time doing it. But see, worship can be just a quietness and a realization. Teach me, Lord. But see, most of the time we miss worship. Like, you remember the time I told you about that when I was asking God to give way to deer, the word that I could talk to him and it would be a connecting link. And I was down in the woods all by myself. We were back on public land right on the edge of it. There wasn't anybody down in there. I was way off to myself and just sitting there. And I was praying, Lord, just come down and touch. See, I didn't know at the same time over on the hill over there that he was taking care of his word. But see, all at once I just smelt this fragrance. And it was just like somebody was right. I mean, it wouldn't have been no more if it had been that close. Just spraying a fragrance. You know what I thought? I thought, oh God, now I'm down here trying to pray for you to do something and to help and all, and some crazy female is out here in the woods spraying her perfume around. That's what I thought. I got so upset, I got down on the ground. I was crying and just got on the ground. Just said, forget it. About the time I get on the ground, the deer start snorting and everything else. Cause I done messed up everything all around me. I just laid down on the ground and cried. Walked back up. Here they come over the hill with a truck. That big old deer that waved at, and that truck laying in the back. But see, I still looked down in there and I thought my brother-in-law had killed it. I said, well, who got it? He goes, pointing at Wade. You see, he was fulfilling his promise, and I was over there complaining about If I'd have just been spiritual enough to realize that they shouldn't have been out anybody out in the woods there to be spraying perfume around. But see, I missed it. I apologize to him. See, we ought to just be in worship all the time. Right. Remember the service this Sunday. Pray one for another that the Lord would bless and guide. Remember now, no service next Wednesday. We won't be having any service. Have your Christmas time and all with your families. We don't celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christ. We love Him. We celebrate it that way. Right. Anything anybody to say before we go? Okay. Praise the Lord. That's what we believe, right? There's worship. True worship. And just honor, and then, but then when you do see it, and you see it made manifest, you feel like you want to run. You know, feel like you want to run. Anybody else? For you? Yeah. Okay, Brother Tom. Go ahead, Brother D. Go ahead, Brother Tom. Amen.
Like that. And then she called us again, you know. And you say, well, now that's just, you know, that could just be a coincidence or what have you like that. Well, last time we were down in Elberton, Georgia, and this man has got back trouble. You just wouldn't believe the back trouble he had. And the Lord told me again, he says, share with him, give him prayer. He's a believer. He belongs to the brethren. And so anyhow, this Sunday morning, before we had our church service, I decided, well, I'm going to go share it with him. And so I carried a prayer cloth in my Bible there, and I opened it up and I shared it with him. I said, now, whether you believe this or not, you know, I said, you might not have to go see a doctor. You might not have to have surgery. Then again, you might have to have surgery. I said, but I believe this right here, and I read it in there. And I said, now, these are prayer calls. And got home one Sunday night, 3 or 4 weeks later. His wife was on the phone, and she said he'd had surgery, and everything went well.
Amen.
And they called me.
Right.
And so Gail went and called her, and she wears cropped off hair and wears pants and what have you like that. But anyhow, she told Gail how everything went. I mean, the surgery just, new kind of surgery just went fine, and he was up walking and what have you. And she said, and thank you for the cloth.
Amen. Amen. Right. Right. He does it. Amen.
But one of the greatest things is to think that the Lord Jesus Christ would allow me.
Right. None of us are worthy. Right. Yep. He gets all the honor and glory. Amen. Brother Dean. Worship wherever. Sister Gail.
You know, y'all pray for my name, and I'm telling you, this last month, I have suffered. I had never suffered next to having babies. I mean, this knee has just killed me. And I was walking, Brother Dean and Aaron prayed, and you prayed, and I was telling somebody else, and my faith must be in the dirt because I just can't seem to get rid of the pain in my knee. And I said, I was telling you, getting in your mind. I said, you know, the Lord has always touched my mind. Never once not touched my mom. And, you know, I was just sort of accepting it and
moaning
and groaning and people what the doctor,
the girl said
about my knee and all that. One day I was sitting there and I thought, now wait a minute. The devil has no power unless I give it to him.
Exactly.
I'm giving him
right.
The power to make me sicker and sicker and hurt more and more. I
said, amen. Amen.
I thank you for the healing in the past, and I thank you for the healing of my knee. And I can bend my knee.
Amen.
I go sideways right now, but I can go up and down the steps.
Amen.
Thank God.
Right. Yep.
Because when you're hurt, I mean, everything is wrong.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We was out there in September in Kansas, and we had to go down into a place way down on a real deep embankment. I'm talking about from here to down to the river, what, 200-300 feet or more straight down. We had to walk down it. Well, we was down in there, and I was kind of watching, taking it easy with Danny, you know, and making sure that I was pretty close to him where if he slipped, you know, telling him to be careful now. You know, when he was coming back up through there, he said, you know, that I knew I was supposed to walk with y'all guys, but I didn't know I was going to be climbing mountains. I mean, we were climbing out of real rough places and all that. It was doing, but anybody else?